Hey everybody, Sean Early here. Ever since Apple announced their new Vision Pro headset, which will be coming out in the next year or so, they've been talking about this thing called the Spatial Audio API for immersive audio experiences. And it got me thinking, what exactly is immersive audio? And so today I'm joined by Ross Lehrer, who's the CEO of Archipelago Entertainment, and he's going to tell us all about the production process and exactly what is immersive audio. So with that said, I'll see you in the episode.
T-minus 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to the new Robot Spaceship Podcast, covering innovative news, trends, emerging technology, and how it affects the economy, business, and culture. If you like this podcast, don't forget to click the subscribe button in order to stay up to date on all the latest episodes. Hey everybody, this is Sean Early. Welcome to the new Robot Spaceship Podcast. And today I'm joined by Ross Lehrer, who is the owner of Archipelago Entertainment. It's a recording studio and they specialize in immersive audio. So today he's going to tell us all about immersive audio and everything he's got going on. So Ross, thanks for being on the show.
Thank you very much for having me, Sean. It's good to be here with you today.
So let's get right into it. Tell me about Archipelago and just give me a little bit about your background, how that all gets started.
Absolutely. Well, I'm just a big lover of music. I've been producing music for a little over 20 years now and fell in love with electronic music when I was 13. I'm 36 now, so it's been a wonderful journey and being part of a lot of musical evolutions and musical chapters, not only for the world, but also for myself and my own career. And Archipelago Entertainment, we founded our small little music production company roughly 10 years ago. It's been a collaboration and a joint venture with one of my dear friends from high school, Brian Schenefeld. And we're on this endless pursuit to marry music, technology, and adventure together. And in between all of those little milestones, we've been producing music in the pop space, the EDM world. We've gone to Korea a whole bunch for K-pop songwriting camps. We've done music scores for movies and documentaries and experiences. We work with wonderful, recognizable brands all around the world. Red Bull and Meta are a couple of those that we've been with for, half a dozen years now, about 5 or 6 years. And immersive audio came onto our radar, I'd say 4 or 5 years ago. I just remember learning about Dolby Atmos and just getting so excited about the potential of how that technology could help inspire compositions in our music productions. And it was roughly a year and a half ago that we decided to pull the trigger and build out my compositional production space and introduce Dolby Atmos technology into the studio that I'm speaking to you now in. So it's been a great ride, and just, it's kind of fun mentioning just some of those little things because there's been so many musical chapters, different genres, different styles of music that we've been making, and now introducing Dolby Atmos and marrying that with our synthesizers from the late 70s and early 80s and tape machines and so forth that we have in here. It's just a hell of a fusion, hell of a marriage of tech in here. So there's never a dull moment, and it really helps keep things fresh. So that's where we're at now.
Very cool. For listeners who aren't aware of what immersive audio, can you give us just a little bit of an overview, just a brief high level of what that is?
Yeah, immersive audio, let's see here. Okay, so everybody knows that we have stereo, right? We have left and right. Those are two speakers that put out our signal. We've had that for decades. And we also have, say, 5.1 surround sound. 5.1 surround sound is the standard in all of the movie theaters across the world. And a lot of people also have that in their home theaters and so forth. Even some cars have been equipped with surround sound in the past. Immersive audio, say with Dolby Atmos, is introducing a hell of a lot more speakers to create, by definition, an immersive experience. You can have seven speakers around you at your head, ear level, And then you can have four speakers above you to create full immersion. And there are tools, in layman's terms, there are tools for producers and mixers, composers like myself, that we can place musical instruments all around you. And they can be, those instruments can be automated, and they can move around you to help envelop you in a musical sonic experience and to help augment the story that you're trying to tell, whether that's in songwriting, pop production, rock music, or cinematic music, video game scores, whatever it is. There are, when you introduce essentially 12 speakers instead of those two speakers that we just spoke of regarding stereo, you could just, I mean, your imagination is your only limitation. There are so many possibilities, and you can really create a meaningful experience for the listener. It's really amazing seeing and feeling the difference when people get to enjoy the music here in this room or in an Atmos environment. And I've seen people well up in their eyes, like they're like, this is truly an experience, especially when it's a powerful piece of music. So yeah, that's the in a nutshell, that is immersive audio. And I guess I should say one additional extension of that, for those who are not able to enjoy music in, say, a studio like this where there's 12 speakers all around you, it is able to be diluted down into headphones. And that's what they call our binaural mixes. And binaural technology is a very advanced technology that is also rapidly improving, where those instruments, also known as objects, are then spatialized in your headphones, so you can have that experience with your headphones. And it's pretty darn good if the mix is really great. And that technology and the headphone technology is only getting better as we speak. So it's an exciting time to see where all of this goes. We're still in the early phases, definitely in the early phases when you think about it, but it's evolving quickly because all of technology is evolving rather quickly.
Right. And I guess for listeners who might not be aware as well, I mean, you can have an immersive experience where the engineer sort of moves the audio around you, and you can also have an experience where you are sort of controlling your head to decide where you want to hear the music as well. So I guess there's two different aspects of immersive audio, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And just to take this a step further, now, when it comes to the sort of the immersive world, I mean, we're not just talking about headphones, we're also talking about, you know, like virtual reality and augmented reality devices. How does that interplay as well? I mean, are you actually being more involved with the sort of game design and the, because when you, in an immersive experience, it's not just audio, I mean, you have a visual as well. And so how do you control your audio based on, I'd say, a control device like a headphone, where you don't actually know where that user's head is going to be? You know, how do you mix all that together exactly?
Well, I'm not an expert with that, but say, for instance, you had mentioned video games. Dolby Atmos, their renderer and their tools are embedded. They're built in to the flagship game development environment called Unreal Engine. And so they're making it incredibly easy to introduce immersive Dolby Atmos audio into major games moving forward. And there is there's also some head tracking technology that Dolby has introduced for people to use with their smartphone. And it's a simple scan of your head, and then you just turn your head a couple ways, boom, that's all said and done. So it's unfolding. And then, you know, with a visual medium, with a film, we just got done doing a feature-length documentary and also did that in Atmos. And it was a hell of a lot of fun. And that, yeah, I mean, for instance, it was a car-related documentary. So there were moments when the, you know, the camera's inside with the driver in the race car. So you can then put all of that sound around you. You can put the music around you. You can make compositional and production decisions based on what that driver's doing, where it's going, where the car is. I mean, the adrenaline, all of that, the energy, everything. It's really amazing what you can do with it. When it comes to this technology to like virtual reality and augmented reality, that is a world that I haven't dabbled in as much or understand how that will be integrated. I have my guesses here, but at the end of the day, as a music producer and composer, I just know that when those opportunities come up, that if we can create music for, you know, immersive environments, it's a shoo-in. It's just going to be a natural intersection of what we do and pairing that with the visual medium. There's just amazing plugins, right, and software platforms as well that you can make textures and spaces in this room, like just with a couple sounds, and then you render something out and you're like in space. It's insane.
Right. So tell me a little bit, you mentioned the car thing. I mean, what all have you been working on? I mean, what kinds of projects?
Oh, you know, where it's a little bit all over the map. This feature-length documentary is called King in the Mountain, and it's based on the world-renowned Pikes Peak race here in Colorado, Colorado Springs, Colorado. Pikes Peak is a 14,000-foot mountain, and it's been happening for 100 years. Actually, they just had their 101 race like a week or two ago. So that is a documentary based on the history of the race and focusing on all of the drivers that come from around the world to participate in the race. That will be coming out this fall. We just wrapped up a video game for Epic Games called Mythforce, and that will be coming out in the fall as well. That was a two-year journey of doing the music score for that video game. It was a lot of fun. We work with brands like Red Bull and Meta on a plethora of different projects. For Red Bull, we really get to, no pun intended, really spread our wings with them, where we've done everything from library music to doing top secret athlete related stuff to commercials to, you know, all kinds of great things. Some known and some unknown for Red Bull, and we're looking to do some really great feature length, long form movie stuff as well with them, which is an exciting time with Red Bull. Meta, we create music for their content creators, and we've done a variety of projects as well for them over the years. But they've been a great partner. And it's a random little thing because I'm not much on social media, but the music that we've made for Meta, it's hundreds and hundreds of millions of plays that the music we've made for them. So it's an interesting little nugget. I'm just sitting up here in the mountains of Colorado, and then, you know, you see, you know, all these people all around the world using the music that we've composed for Meta and the platforms, and they pair it with, you know, brands and companies for commercials or whatever, or advertisements and things like that. It's been fun. Then I do other, you know, co-writes with other composers out there, and, you know, work with my buddy, Tony Anderson. He's great. We've done a lot of music together, and I also have a little band called The Spaces as well. So there's all kinds of moving pieces. That's just kind of what has been on the radar the past like year. And prior to that, you know, there's all kinds of fun stuff. So excited to see what comes up too.
Oh, very cool. So I have some experience in audio recording from a long time ago. I'm mostly, you know, I'm used to working in stereo, obviously. So it's been a long time since I had any sort of formal training in anything beyond like maybe four speakers or five speakers, I would say. I'm curious how, maybe we're getting a little into audio nerdism, but I mean, how, when you're mixing so many speakers and so many tracks, and then you're presenting that to, like, either it's a game or some sort of immersive experience, I mean, how do you deliver I mean, I'm used to like bouncing down to a stereo mix, right? That's where I go to, and we spend all our time like trying to tweak this mix down to stereo. And what is the deliverable that you give to people when you're talking about so many pieces of different audio in different locations and different all the panning and all the locations and stuff? I mean, is it like multiple audio files that you deliver to people to certain locations, or is there some sort of format that you give them that renders out? I mean, you mentioned Doble. I mean, it's been a long time since I honestly don't know the formats.
That's a fantastic question, Sean. It's really quite simple. For Dolby Atmos, there is a renderer application that runs in tandem with Pro Tools or Logic Pro or any of those digital audio workstations that music producers and mixers use. And the Dolby Atmos renderer, when you have your mix and you're ready to ship it off, it creates an ADM file, and it's just a glorified WAV file. So a typical stereo WAV file that's 3 minutes is what, 38 megabytes or something like that. A 3.5 minute Dolby Atmos file is probably 1.3 gigabytes. It's just it consolidates those 12 WAV files, okay, and 12 speakers into one convenient file for you to upload to distribution to get to Apple Music or, Spotify, anything like that. And then, you know, somebody on the other end, say like a film mixer who's on a dub stage, can import that ADM file from the Dolby Atmos renderer and then open it up on their system, and boom, hit play and everything's all around you. So they've really honed in that process, which is great. And continuing to refine it. There are some neat tools coming out as well that are making the deliverable experience easier, because those are big files and there are more files within it. So it's a good time. I mean, Dolby's really on top of this. And I know that Sony has their proprietary tech, and there's a couple other technologies out there for immersive audio, and yeah, it's all getting really good.
Right, crazy. You mentioned some things with Meta. How familiar are you with the new Apple headset coming out? Because that's supposed to have some kind of immersive audio in it as well.
Yeah, not too familiar with it. I've spoken to a couple friends who work at Apple about it as well. They don't even know a lot. But, you know, hey, it looks impressive. I have mixed feelings on it. I think augmented reality is definitely going to be a big thing, and virtual reality, I mean, it just seems like that's all a natural pathway, a natural path of evolution with everything. I was at a friend's house somewhere, I think a friend's house or just somewhere out and about, and Ready Player One was playing in the background, and I was like, oh God, that's like that's what it looks like. So I hope that in my heart of hearts that society doesn't become like Ready Player One and 20 years, where people are already so glued to their phones and, you know, on it all the time, and this is just going to become an extension of that. So I hope for the best, but I know that it's going to be a very meaningful piece of technology for a lot of other things outside of, you know, people's addictions into other worlds. But yes, it can definitely be great, and spatial audio would no doubt like be a huge component of that. So the Vision Pro has some headphones built in, I believe, and that's going to include the spatial audio technology that Apple has been using and has been pushing forward.
Right.
And I'm sure that they will enable one to use their own headphones if they wish, or if they are in their living room and they have a setup for immersive audio, that could be an extension as well. So we will see. But I think it's an exciting time. I just hope I just hope people don't lose it too much and forget to not go outside and hit some golf balls or something.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, once we get past the $3,000 price point or whatever it is, you know, we'll see how that evolves after that.
Yeah.
But I think I'm curious about sort of the future sort of business potential for, say, advertisers like you mentioned, Red Bull and stuff. If they want to do more of this type of audio, I mean, I've heard, you know, some immersive stuff that's on Spotify. I've heard, you know, just some stuff through the Meta headsets. Talking about Apple coming up. You mentioned just electronic music in general. I mean, where would potential advertisers get the most bang for their buck if they were to, you know, want to explore doing more types of immersive audio projects?
That's a good question. Advertisers. Well,
I'm thinking brands, advertisers in general. You know, it doesn't have to be just advertisers, but.
Well, sure. Yeah. Well, brands. I can start. I can definitely rally off some ideas there. I mean, goodness gracious. There's a company out there. They are called Spatial Inc. They're based in the Silicon Valley area, and they are a tech company that they are installing immersive audio hardware in retail spaces, in hospitals, in all different types of places, and introducing music, ambiances, textures, songs, all that good shit into those, say, a retail space. Say if you walk into REI and you're a customer looking to buy produce and buy merchandise, you could be informed by having the auditory effect of music or ambiances. Say if you're in the hiking section of REI and you hear birds and river streams and so forth, streams of water and all that good jazz. If you go to the water section, you hear the oceans. If you're in the snow section or snowboarding section, you hear the wind and you hear the snow. I mean, all kinds of really good stuff. So that, to me, I don't know the data or the science behind it, but that would stimulate a response in my body, in my soul, in my mind, and probably be a little bit more inspired to be like, man, I need to buy this right now. This looks awesome. And I can do this out in my backyard in the mountains here. So I think that's a company like Spatial Inc. is using that and introducing that technology to many different sectors and industries across the country. I think, a company like Red Bull, absolutely. I mean, they're all about creating that experience. And yes, they sell billions of cans of their energy drink every year. But, you know, the flip side of Red Bull is they are an entire brand of sport culture and pushing yourself, and they have the best F1 driver in the world with Max, to the craziest mountain bikers, to the best surfers, and their online content, their video content, their films, their feature-length films, their games, whatever they end up doing, no doubt they can create that experience by putting you, the viewer, in the cockpit of the jet plane or on the helmet with the bike, and just really have that full experience of just, you know, being right there with that world-renowned athlete and having an awesome musical soundtrack to go with it. I think that, oh man, I mean, I'm probably going to think of even better examples when we hop off this call. But, I mean, what do you think? I mean, it's the sky's the limit with it as the technology becomes better or more obtainable for the consumer at the end of the day. I mean, what do you think, Sean?
Right. I mean, I see two things. I see one, somebody, just your general person who wants to put on some headphones and they want to have sort of an immersive experience wherever they are. And two, I see more location-based, like you said, like a store where there are certain strategic areas where there needs to be different sound effects or whatever. And I tried not to laugh because I was envisioning like a grocery store walking through the meat aisle and hearing cows or something. But I guess that wouldn't be the best choice. Yeah. But, I'm just trying to think of like, you know, from a use case perspective, because, you know, we work with so many different brands, where those potentials would be. And obviously, since a lot of people don't want to just put on a very sophisticated set of headphones, you know, how do you deliver that immersive experience to something very simple, you know, just a standard, you know, MP3 quality through your iPhone, you know, iPod, you know, earphones or whatever. It just, I think you just really have to think in terms of where the audio would be significant, you know, and is it just sound effects or is it music or, you know, and also, you know, how do you control that experience, or is it just an experience that plays back to you as well? Because like you said, if you go to REI and you listen to, you know, water, a river rushing by as you're buying a kayak or something, you know, I think that's pretty cool. And I think as maybe you walk away from it and you go towards the whatever section, camping section, and you hear more birds and trees or whatever, you know, I think that would be pretty cool. And I guess it depends on if it would be location-based, like a certain speaker in a certain area is playing a certain thing, or if you could even have an audio tour, you know, with your headset on as you go to different places. I wonder. I guess I haven't really seen like immersive audio only headsets, you know what I mean, where it's only audio, like it's not just I'm just brainstorming, but you know, you think of a big immersive headgear, but not really just headset, where you, as you walk through your house, for example, what you hear could almost be directed by where you go in certain places, you know, and I think that would be kind of an interesting thing to explore. But again, I don't know, I'm just riffing ideas, really.
Here's a little bit of clarity when it comes to the headphone aspect, and just at the end of the day, for anybody to enjoy music. And just a slight digression off of the brands and so forth and how advertisers and brands would use this. I don't have a lot of ideas for it. Like I kind of joked, I'll probably think of some others when I'm upstairs having lunch later today or something. But at the end of the day, you know, for me, I make music, and I really enjoy producing music, and immersive technology is a tool for me. It's a tool for our company, and it's an extension of our music making. It's all about the song at the end of the day. It's all about our score for whatever we're working on. That's the most important thing. Immersive is an extension of that. I think a lot of producers and mixers are thinking that way as well. It's not the end-all, be-all. And then when it comes into the consumer being able to experience that, anybody on the face of the planet with any pair of headphones can enjoy an immersive mix. It plays back on everything. And just like stereo, the better your headphones are, the better the sound will be. The more little audio drivers that are in those headphones right. that you're wearing now, the better it will be. So in stereo for all those years, like, oh man, these have more bass. So yeah, like, I mean, the Beats headphones that Apple did back in the day, those were it, because you really felt the bass. So there was an improvement in that technology there. And the same thing, you know, if I put on my Audio Technica headphones that I use to track piano, it's going to sound fine. I mean, it sounds okay. But when I put on my Apple AirPod Maxes to test my Atmos mixes in my headphones, boy, it really sounds great. There's just higher fidelity in those headphones. You can use the basic Apple headphones that come in the box with your iPhone, even from the ones that came in the box 10 years ago. And you can enjoy immersive. It plays back. And then as I've said a couple times now, it's just going to get better and better. And maybe to your point, Sean, there will be quote-unquote immersive headphones one day that are designed and engineered specifically to hear back surround mixes like this. I'll be super intrigued on that. I think that would probably be great, but I think Apple and Dolby and the tech leaders that are blazing the trail are smart to say, you can experience this. I think the technology on Dolby's end will just get better for if you have a $50 headphones or a $1,000 pair of headphones, you're going to have a great experience no matter what. And then, of course, like the car companies and all of the major tech companies like Samsung, LG, Amazon Alexas, the Apple HomePods, all of that stuff, they're all embracing spatial audio, immersive audio as well. So it's gonna get interesting. Like I think there's a lot of questions still, but it's unfolding right before our eyes.
Yeah. I think for a lot of people, their experience with surround sound or multiple speakers is like a movie theater, and you mentioned some of it is in the cars as well. Do you see this? I mean, it seems clear to me, but it seems like there's almost a transition from this big sort of expensive situational experience to sort of your average person experience it just with their headphones with some kind of digital device.
Yes.
Yes. Do you see this as just a trend in all audio production in general? Do you feel like, you know, a lot of people are going this way, or do you think it's specialized?
I think in the infinite game, in the long game, it is going to be the norm down the road. And just a little, I mean, just if we think that from a music producer mixer standpoint, we have been perfecting the stereo mix process for decades. Like it came around like, you know, back in the 50s and 60s, stereo. And I mean, right now I feel like we're at this amazing pinnacle of being able to mix in stereo where I have the best plugins on my computer. I can have sick outboard hardware that gives it tube warmth and analog gooiness and compressors. And I mean, the optimizers and the calibration units in the studio are insane. Like, it's amazing. And you think about it, manufacturers and companies have been perfecting the stereo tube bus for decades. And we're only a couple years into immersive being available to people like you or I. And already it's getting, it's just like progressing so quickly. I mean, Apple in their flagship music making software called Logic Pro, they have Dolby Atmos built in now. They're really, I mean, they're streamlining that process so much. All the other DAWs have Dolby
That's
Atmos,
true, yeah.
That renderer built in now. So it's just gonna, mm-hmm. as the tools for the creators get easier and streamlined and more affordable, then it all starts with the creators, right? Like you have to create stuff in Atmos. You have to mix it in Atmos for, you know, the neighbor down the street to hear it. And if the creators are not embracing immersive, then the movement will be stagnant and not happen. But the tech is getting so darn good that it's becoming so easy. And just in 2 years, when we were doing our homework of all the hardware that we needed to purchase, we were looking at, you know, 75 to 100 grand worth of equipment. I would say that's now half of like having a top of the line setup. I mean, you can get a sick setup. I mean, you can go crazy with your speakers, and that's with anything in life, anything related to audio. You know, if you get the best speakers, you're going to be spending $10,000 a pop times 12. Do the math. You're looking at just six figures in speakers. But at the end of the day, like our room did not cost six figures, and or at least the Dolby Atmos setup of that. And it's a truly exceptional sounding room. The most expensive piece of equipment for Dolby Atmos was our Chernov Demon, which is like a second computer sitting in a rack over there. And it's the calibration unit to make sure all the speakers are just laser accurate in layman's terms. And that was the most expensive right. piece of equipment. That technology is already getting better, you know, dealing with Chernov, like they're getting smaller. They're getting more compact. Just like, remember flat screen TVs back in the day, they were freaking boxes and thousands of dollars. And now you just go into Walmart and get one for $500 and you got 4K yeah. in your living room. So right. all of that rambling and all of that right. to say,
yeah,
it's going to become easier for producers to do it. And we just need to feel inspiration. We can't be dealing with tech problems and all that when you're trying to write chords and write a melody and figure out harmony, counterpoints, and all that. So it's just going to get easier, and I'm excited for that.
Right.
And it's gonna happen. I mean, it's not like we're going to just stay in stereo while everything else evolves. But I would like to say, like, yeah. you know, look at immersive as a tool. It doesn't. Not everything has to be in immersive. You know, singer-songwriter, just a guy sitting there with a right. freaking guitar singing his heart out, that would sound good on a phonograph machine from the 1920s. It doesn't matter. You know, it's the human emotion is being conveyed in that way. So, you know, immersive can just be that tool.
Right. Have you, we talked about a lot of sort of, you know, more cinematic experience of that kind of thing. Do you think there's a trend towards just general pop music going immersive as well? Like, are we going to start seeing your average bedroom producer with FL Studio exploring this in the future?
I think so. Apple Music is trailblazing that. They are pushing that a lot. And Apple also owns Logic, which they were the first company to introduce Dolby Atmos tools into DAW to make music in Atmos. And I think, with Apple, they're really pushing spatial, and they're requiring it for deliverables, and that has trickled down into the major record labels that manage and operate some of the biggest artists in the world. So though that's unfolding, you know, Josh Goodwin went back before he was even asked and did all of Justin Bieber's discography, all of his entire catalog in Atmos, just so it was available for people to enjoy. Yes, I absolutely think that is going to unfold for everybody. And again, like I had mentioned, for that producer in FL Studio, it's just going to get easier. It may not be the right answer now or the right thing, but and when it is, you know, if you are just doing a singer-songwriter acoustic pop record, or you're just making pop music, I mean, yeah, absolutely. It maybe everything's in stereo except for your room mics or something, and you're able to put that somewhere else. But at the end of the day, it can be as tasteful or as crazy and wild as you want it to be. And I tell you, when you get to listen to it and you just have, let's just say, pop music, and I'll keep using kind of the singer-songwriter acoustic thing as an example. That is so wonderful just in stereo, and you can use two compressors and so forth to just bring all those harmonics and just create a really beautiful mix in stereo. But man, when you have just very gentle saltasto cellos and violas in your rear speakers and have those gently and slowly automate towards the center or towards the front, and then have the reverbs of your guitars swell in the opposite direction to go back, and then you just have just ever so gentle, you know, little percussion elements up top or something, and then the reverb is coming out of, like, the vocal reverb is coming out of everything, out of all the speakers. Like, man, when you hear that and you turn up that volume and then you switch it back to stereo, you're like, oh, I'm bored. You know, beautiful. Just speaking strictly about the sonics and the mix of everything, not just the song, of course. That's a separate conversation. But yeah, like when you switch back and forth, you're like, oh yeah, I want to hear this in immersive. It's fucking sick. Part of my French.
I remember when I first opened up the first virtual reality headset and I put it on. I was thinking, wow. All I want right now is my digital audio workstation right here, so I can move all my stuff around. I can, because, you know, you're so used to now working, because you used to have a huge studio like yours, and now a lot of people just have it in this square screen in front of them. And yeah. I was just thinking, wow, what if I could have both? You know, I could just position my entire studio in my virtual space, and I can make my screen as big as I want, as I can have my gear there, my racks there, whatever I want. And then I played with Google had I forget what it was called. It was a Cardboard Audio or Google Immersive Audio something SDK. And it was kind of like there's like this little sort of weird hexagonal kind of cave that you could put yourself in. And you could either set yourself out of the cave so that the speakers were in a huge plane, or you could put yourself in the cave, and then each speaker had one speaker had like a guitar loop, and the other speaker had like, I don't know, some other thing. And you could, you know, you could walk towards the speaker, or you could walk away, and you can kind of hear where the positioning of everything was. And then you could, I guess you could walk out of the cave, you know, and you could hear something in the cave, or you could take the cave away and it sounded like speakers in a big field, which sounds weird anyway. But, I was imagining there that would be amazing to be able to just, especially from a recording engineer's perspective, if I could just take a room and mold it however I wanted, you know, and be able to get the right reverb based on a certain shape, or if I could get, you know, put my drum kit in the right corner to get that shape of the right reflecting, you know, because I mean, I'm old school. I remember me and my band sitting there panning left and right on a Led Zeppelin song, trying to hear the little guitar dee-dee-dee-dee-dee that he did on one side, and then there's like a chinka-chinka-chink on the other side, and we'd literally listen to the song in left and right stereo for hours, just trying to pick out all the weird things, you know? And I guess I'm just riffing here, but I imagine spatial, you know, immersive audio and all the different speakers and all the possibilities of being able to try to find all the subtleties would be an infinity of trying to find, you know, it would be a different experience every time you listen to it, I would think, you know. But I don't know. I would love for those two to merge, definitely the VR or the AR and the immersive in a way that is much more of a tool for engineers, I think, because I think they haven't quite nailed that yet, at least my feeling. I mean, there's a little bit of it, but, you know, I use Reason, but there isn't like a Pro Tools plugin that just lets you go thunk, you know what I mean, and make my studio. And that would be my dream. I just like to get your point of view of like how you feel about that, because you have a lot of analog gear behind you. I mean, would that be something you would use as well?
No, it wouldn't be for me, but I can see how it could be very meaningful for a lot of different people. I've tried the... Well, actually, allow me to back up one moment. That sounds really cool. It wouldn't be for me, because I want to be hands-on. I want to play my piano in the corner over there, and I like being tactile. I want to hit my desk and record a random piece of percussion, or turn the knobs on my compressors or the tape machines that I have. Like, that just inspires me, and that's just for me, though. But I totally recognize and honor, like, most people are on a sick laptop now and they're producing, and it'd be awesome to, you know, you have all those tools on your computer, but then to actually, you know, have a pair of glasses on and be like, oh, man, and then you can just, like, you know, on like kind of like an iPad screen or something, you can turn the knobs of your TubeTech compressor or something like that, or turn the knob of your cutoff of your low pass filter on your Moog synth. That would be so dope. And, you know, we have that now, but just in a virtual space, that would be sweet. It wouldn't be for me, but I can totally honor and appreciate how it would be for a lot of people.
Yeah, I think there was in the teaser video of the new Apple headset, I did see a screen really quickly that showed a digital audio workstation like sitting in front. And it's been like any time I talk about, I don't know what it was. Maybe it was just your laptop screen being projected, you know, I don't know what it was, but they definitely, and my gut feeling is I didn't look at it quickly. I'm pretty sure it's Logic, obviously, because they own Logic. But for me, that would be a shoo-in to be able to just connect those two in that environment. I mean, maybe not, but I would love to definitely see some hardware manufacturer work with a digital audio workstation manufacturer and just come up with a solution that is an actual tool and not just a toy game. Because, I mean, I played with some games where you can, you know, you have these sticks and you can kind of bonk on some things and you can change the speakers or whatever, you know, or you can kind of connect the speaker to the thing and it's kind of gamey. But, you know, I've never really seen a tool, you know, other than, I guess there are some plugins that I've experienced where you can kind of simulate like some of the big studios, you know, like the one I got was like something from Waves, which is like this is what it sounds like in the big fancy Nashville studio, you know, your mix or whatever, and it kind of simulates the space. But I kind of feel like those are just kind of gimmicks in a way. But I don't know. I really feel there's a lot of potential for immersive audio and with the headset manufacturers that I would just love to see more research done. But yeah, I don't know. I agree with you. I think there's, I think immersive audio especially hasn't gotten enough attention in this sort of immersive technology space. And I would really love to see a lot more focus on that, because I think there's so many use cases where that could be utilized from a product perspective and from just a promotional brand perspective, definitely.
Yeah, Sean, it's early stages for immersive audio. Dolby Music or Dolby Atmos has been in the movie theaters for 10 years. You know, you've been going to an IMAX film for a long time now, and films have been mixed in Dolby Atmos. But for the mass consumption, for the average Joe, for some Joe Schmo like me up in the mountains of Colorado to have Atmos, this is all relatively new. And like we had discussed earlier, stereo has been around for a long time, and it's been perfected for a long time. And Dolby Atmos is just next in line in immersive audio. So it's early days, and I like to use the analogy, like, we just left port and we're out at sea, and we haven't even seen the tip of the iceberg yet, you know. And then once you get to that iceberg, it goes down. It's a rabbit hole. So it's a journey, and I think it's very fun, and it's just going to get easier. So I'm encouraged for people who are discouraged and who are hesitant to even look into it because it's expensive or it's just more deliverables or whatever. Like, I trust and know that that's just going to get easier. I've already seen it just in a year and a half. Its tools are going to get great. I'm really looking forward to when there, you know, like two bus mixing, you know, for those who are not familiar with that is, there are tools that we have that glue everything together for mixing, and when those are more readily available for surround and immersive and for like Dolby Atmos objects, that's going to be a game changer to create some of that glue that we're looking for. But at the same time, the spatialization and the dynamics that you get in immersive audio, there's nothing like it. And so you want those dynamics. You don't want everything to be beautifully compressed together, but time and place for everything, right? Some pieces of music will call for that.
Right. Well, I think we're running low on time, but before we go here, how can people listen to some of your work? What's the best way to check all that out?
If you just search for my name, Ross Lara, you know, online or, you know, on Spotify or something like that, there's a bunch of music up there. And our company site, archipelagoent.com, has a plethora of our projects over the years. And that's where you can really, you can check out our past discography and records that we've produced for artists all over. You can hear more of the band that I have, The Spaceys. The Spaceys is also just a little search on Spotify or Apple Music. I really love The Spaceys. My buddy Dave and I, we make fun music together when we have the time. So you can search those out in the interweb, and that's all she wrote. I hope you guys like what you hear. I appreciate your time.
Cool. I'll put those links in the show notes, definitely. And well, Ross, it's been great having you on the show. Anyway, I just really appreciate being able to just talk audio nerd with you, because I don't get a lot of chance lately. But it's been great having you on the show, man.
I appreciate your time, Sean, and thank you for having me. And this is it always gets my wheels turning when I get to think out loud and talk out loud about all of this. So it's great questions, and I enjoyed my time with you here, and just appreciate your time and what you're doing for just the tech community and music community, and just, you know, people overall who enjoy your show. It's fantastic.
Well, thank you. That's it for today. As always, be sure to subscribe and follow. We're on all the social media channels. We're on all your favorite podcast platforms. And that's it for today's episode of the Robot Spaceship Podcast. I will talk to you soon. Bye. If you like this podcast, don't forget to click the subscribe button in order to stay up to date on all the latest episodes. This podcast has been brought to you by the Robot Spaceship Podcast Network. For more information and other great podcast series, go to robotspaceship.com and subscribe.